Well, if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. This morning, we're going to look at just one verse of Scripture that may surprise you. In fact, during the course of our study of Hebrews 13, we have been saying some things, and I will say some things today that will probably shake you up in terms of your understanding of Christianity and the church. And I encourage you to not just accept what I say because I say it. Search it out for yourself. See if what I'm saying is true. The fact of the matter is, modern Christians, I think, have gotten a lot of things wrong. And when you get things wrong in your way of thinking, it's very difficult to change your pattern of how you think or how you live. I read where the 37-year-old wonderkind coach for Butler was hired by the Boston Celtics, and he explained how he taught himself to shoot the basketball. And one of the statements he said in the paper this morning that I read was, if you learn bad habits, it takes a long time to unlearn those bad habits. I have no illusions. I do not think that I will help us unlearn some bad habits and how we live the Christian life this morning in 25 minutes. But maybe I can start you on the journey down the road of understanding what Christian leadership is all about. For way too long, the Christian church has believed that leadership involves gender, not giftedness, or the authority of an office and not strength of character, or power instead of persuasion. The Christian church has become similar to the business world. There are bosses who rule over people and tell people what to do. And that is so contrary to the way Scripture says Christian leadership ought to be. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ, not only were your sins forgiven, not only were you given the gift of perfect righteousness, not only were you given a residence in heaven for eternity, you were given a change of character. You became a servant to other people. You followed the chief servant, and he changed your heart, and you began to desire to serve other people. And Christian leadership always flows out of a heart of service. For if it doesn't, you don't have true Christianity. And many of the things that churches do today, many of the organizations that are built upon Christianity, have been built upon a false foundation. Authority in an office, those are the ones who lead. Power given, those are the ones who rule. Instead of the way the Scripture tells us. So this morning, I want us to take a look at what it means for the Church of Jesus Christ to have only servants and no masters. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. One of the things that I love about our assembly of Christians called Emmanuel is that we have a great blend, a great combination of elders, older people, that's the scriptural word elders, and young people. Any church that is heavy loaded on one end or the other is in for problems. If all you have are elders, older people, you might have stability, but there's sometimes a lack of vigor, energy, and excitement. But if you have all young people in a church, as many contemporary churches only have, you might have a lot of enthusiasm, but you lack the backbone of principle, strength, and dignity that elders bring. Now, let me say a word to those of you who are young people, and many of them will be in our other services. But if you're young, if you're under the age of 30, let me encourage you to remember that your elders, those who are older, are your role models. They are the ones that God has put in your life to imitate. It says right here in the text, remember those who have led you. Now, I know that there are a few odd things about those of us who are over 50 and 60 and 70 years old. My son was telling me the other day, he said, Dad, people in your generation need to learn not to tuck their shirts in. I said, what do you mean, Logan? He said, that's not cool. When you're out walking in the mall, wear your shirt out. Well, for young people, it's odd the way we dress. I know that, but the scripture here says, remember those who have led you, who have spoken the word to you, and considering the way they end their faith or their lives, imitate them. A great lesson for all of us in that technically the true heroes in Christianity are those who have died. You better be careful that you don't imitate the faith or follow after someone who's not yet gone. Because you're not sure how they end. You see, it's much better to end the Christian life well, no matter how you began it. Too often in Christianity, we put on the platform people who have just been saved, people who have just come to faith in Christ, people out of a life of drugs and all kinds of egregious sin, and we put them up as a testimony of what it means to be a Christian. We should be careful with that. The people who should be giving their testimonies and leading us are those who are toward the end of their lives, who have given us the example of faithfulness and consistency. This is what our text says. Notice a couple of things about this verse. The objects of our remembrance are in the past tense. Remember those who led you, implying that they're gone. Second, this verse speaks of leadership. Remember those who led you. It says nothing about authority. Now, here's the meat of what I want to get across this morning. The question for all of us, young and old, is a simple one. How do followers of Jesus Christ, how do Christians lead others? Your father in your home, how do you lead? Your pastor in a church, how do you lead? Your leader of a nonprofit, how do you lead? You're a businessman, how do you lead? You're a businesswoman, how does a Christian lead? That's the question for us this morning. Let me give you a principle. There's not a single verse of scripture in all of the Bible that allows any believer in Jesus Christ or anyone holding a, quote, Christian position to rule over others. It's just not allowed. This is not. This is particularly true of pastors or people in a church who feel they're entitled. There is nowhere in the Bible that you are given rule over anyone. Now, let me show you something. If you are reading from the King James Version, there are three verses in Hebrews 13 that kind of give the impression that there are to be people within Christianity who rule over other people. And it's in the King James Version, in that translation, that you read this. Let me give you an example. One of those verses is the verse that I just read for you, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Listen to it in the King James Version. Remember them which have the rule over you. New American Standard says, remember those who led you. King James Version says, remember those who have the rule over you. Now drop down to verse 17. Look at this verse in the King James Version. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now drop down to verse 24 in the King James Version. Salute all them that have the rule over you. Do you see that? Now, if you're reading from the King James Version, you're going to immediately think, wait a second, there's somebody who's boss. There's somebody who's ruling over me. Right? Of course you are. By the way, if you ever drive by a church and you see the little sign out front that says KJV only, King James Version only, you know what that is? It's a euphemism for the fact that the pastor is the boss and he is ruling over you. And everything he says is law. Now, I can tell you this, and you're not sure how it looks in the church, so what I want to do is show you a videotape. Now, I debated whether or not to show you this tape, and I decided to go ahead and do it because the church posted this. I'm familiar with the church. They will go unnamed. They're in Oklahoma, and this pastor is a friend of my family. In fact, he's been a friend of my father for over 35 years. He's a good man. He's a Christian man. He's a brother in Christ. But he has the belief that he is to rule over his congregation and that God has given him this position of authority. And his word is the law of God. He is God's regent on earth. And this video clip that you'll see is from a worship service where this pastor, who bases his philosophy of ministry on a King James translation of Hebrews 13, leads his church. Watch.
And he'd be surprised. Son, don't go to sleep while I'm talking. Hey, 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 don't you lay your head back. I'm important. I'm somebody. Now, you might do your English teacher that way, but I'm not teaching English. I'm teaching eternal life here. I love you. You know I love you. Have I convinced you I love you? You better nod your head yes. All right, come on, put it up there. All right, you stay awake and you listen to me. You say, well, he may never come back. Well, he ain't here now. And where have you been, Mr. Underwood? And I noticed on the calendar I'm supposed to marry y'all. What makes you think I'd marry you? You're one of the sorriest church members I have. You're not worth 15 cents. And you want me to marry you to her? And you want to marry him, and he don't even know where he belongs, and you don't even know where you belong. Now, let me tell y'all, everybody here, how much I love these kids. Do you know I love you, sir? Stand up, big boy. Do you know I love you? All right. All right, give me a little love. Wait a minute. I'm a real deal. Yeah. All right, I know you are too, but you ain't been here. Are y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room? Good. We're having trouble in the video room. There's no one finer than young Cox back there. And he comes down here and spends hours in that thing. But he has a little attitude adjustment that we're going to fix. Brother Cox, you listening? Because Brother Cox, I can fix your attitude adjustment. And I don't care what your mama thinks and your daddy thinks. And I don't have a better friend than your mama. But mama, you get out of my way when I'm messing with that boy, because I'm his preacher. I'm yours when I'm talking to you, but I'm his when I'm talking to him. And last I checked, he's a grown man. And that video room ain't going to be a youth hangout. We might as well just fix this thing. And I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, if you don't know what you're doing wrong, son, you don't care about what I want to do right. Because if you loved me and you submitted to me, you'd know what my heart is and my message is. And you wouldn't go about establishing your own kingdom in the video room.
Now, that's what it means to lord over someone else. And the odd thing is, that's a Sunday night worship service. Those are the folks really committed. Now, again, a good man. His philosophy is twisted. He has no clue how the New Testament describes leadership. He just doesn't. You say, well, Pastor, it says right there, he's to rule over me. I'm to obey and submit to him. He's my boss. God has put him there. By the way, a lot of dads think that about their families. A lot of men think that about their position in the church because of their status, because of their power, and so on. It's not to be that way. You say, well, explain these verses to me. All right, I will. These three verses that I pointed out, Hebrews 13, verse 7, Hebrews 13, verse 17, Hebrews 13, verse 24, where each of the three have the phrase, obey them who have rule over you. Let me show you a couple of things. Number one, the word over is not in any of the three Hebrew 13 verses. It's just not there. Now, you can check this out for yourself. You can take a Greek interlinear, and you can go back and you can look for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. You say, well, then, Pastor, why in the world would the King James translators put the phrase over there? Why would they do that? Well, could it be that by the time of 1611 in the Anglican Church that King James ruled over, and the 70 translators that he gathered together who were priests and bishops and archbishops who ruled over the Anglican Church, could it be that there was a little bias in the translation? Obey those who have rule over you. Could be. I don't know why they put the word over there. It's not there. So technically what these verses say is this. Let's take our verse, verse 7, as an example. Remember them which rule you. The NAS says lead you. But even if you're reading from the King James Version, it's just the word rule without the word over. Remember them who rule you. All right, that's the first thing. The word over is not there. Now I want to show you a second thing. The word translated rule in the King James Version is more accurately translated, just like the NAS did it, to lead or to guide. And it never means authority over. In fact, we get a lot of words from this word in the Greek. It's the word hegeomai. And it means to lead as a pioneer would lead. Again, it would be kind of like those early settlers in western Oklahoma. They pioneered farming. They pioneered living in our land. They were our early guides. And the whole idea of this verse is to remember those who pioneered, who led. Knowing how their lives ended, imitate them. By the way, this word is used by Jesus when he speaks to his disciples. Listen to what he says in Luke 22. The one who is greatest among you, the leader, it's the word hegeomai. He is to be the servant of all. The best biblical descriptor of leadership in Christianity is found in Philippians 2, verse 3. He or she is to regard others more important than himself. Do you know what should disqualify any pastor from leadership, any staff member? It's an attitude that I'm going to get done for me what I would not get done for others. It's an attitude that I am not going to do for other people what I myself want done for me. That is immediate disqualification. The leader within Christianity is the one who serves others and deems others more important. By the way, there is a word which could be accurately translated to have authority over. In the Greek language, it is the word arche, A-R-C-H-E. It means to rule over. What's interesting is, in your notes, I point this out to you, this word arche is used 6 times in the book of Hebrews, all before chapter 7. And all 6 times, this word is used of Jesus Christ. Nobody else. By the way, the very idea that there is an archbishop coming from the Greek word arche is not in Scripture. There are only servants, no masters. Jesus Christ alone has authority over His people. You say, wait a minute, there'd be chaos in the church. Are you kidding me? Not at all. In fact, there'd be just the opposite if we really understood this. Leaders would arise within the church who would lead by strength of character, giftedness, and persuasion. The moment anybody ever says, "You do this because I'm the boss," that's the moment there's a problem. The moment somebody says, "You do this because I've been here longest," that's a problem. It's strength of character, persuasion, and giftedness. And by the way, if a leader is ever leading, serving other people, and the direction he or she is leading, there's no desire to follow, that's okay. It's time. It's time for the leader to move on. But the idea that a church must submit to somebody because of an office is utterly ridiculous. Third, the word obey in these texts means to agree through gentle persuasion. In fact, in verse 24, verse 17, let's take verse 17 as an example. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls," is what the NAS says. In the King James Version, verse 17 says, "Obey them which have rule over you and submit yourselves." Now, what does this mean? Well, in Oklahoma, the idea of obeying means to listen to somebody who speaks to you and get it done because they said so. Obey them. Oh, but the writer of Hebrews, in verse 7, verse 17, verse 24, is simply encouraging Christians to remember their heroes in the faith, to those who have led faithful lives, and be persuaded by them. Let their lives convince you. Imitate them. In fact, I'll put it like this. If you're ever in a situation where somebody is saying to you, "You do what I tell you because I am your authority," put on your Nikes and run. You say, "Oh, now, Pastor, in the work setting, in the world setting, and so on, in business and job, and I got to do what they say because he or she's my boss." I'm not talking about that. I am not talking about that. Of course you do. It's in your job description. It's in your contract. You've got to do what the boss says. And if you don't, you should rightfully be fired. What I'm talking about is in a context of spiritual growth. Anybody who says to you, "You do this because I said it," Put your Nikes on and run. You say, oh, now wait a second. What about parents? What about parents in a role of teaching their children what is right and what is wrong and the authority of parents? That could be the only exception, particularly before the age of 18. Absolutely, there is a sense of authority. But even then, the scripture says, parents, do not provoke your children to wrath. Even then, the authority of a dad, given to him by the laws of the state of Oklahoma, is to be given in gentle persuasion to the child. But let me tell you something. When you're dealing with adults in the church, within Christianity, it's all servants and no masters. Be persuaded. Watch their lives. Look at their character. See if they treat people the same. Observe them. Imitate their faith. By the way, I know I'm right. On this, because listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. We don't have dominion. The word there is arche, over your faith. The Apostle Paul is writing this. We are servants for your joy. You get it? So listen to this verse now, Hebrews 13, verse 7, our text. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Remember those who had, past tense, been your guides, who led the way with the word, whose faith you imitate, considering the strong way they finished their life. You say, well, Pastor, what you're saying then is leadership within the church arises from strength of character, from persuasion, gentle persuasion, and giftedness. It is never authority of a position. It is never to be power. And it is never to be a sense of entitlement. You must obey me because of who I am. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. And the old traditional Baptist way of doing things. Look at who I am. Look at what I've done. Look at the position I am in. Look at me. Look at me. You do what I say because of who I am. That's out the window. You serve people. You love people. You treat people with respect. You be gentle with them. You persuade them. And if people trust your leadership, they'll follow. And if not, God's got a plan. All servants. Only servants. No masters. You say, I don't know how this works in my family. I don't know how this works in a marriage. I don't know how this works in a church. I don't know how this works as a Christian in my job. I got questions. I understand you do. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But my father used to say, and I believe this with all my heart, good biblical teaching raises more questions than it answers. All I'm asking you to do is to slow down just a moment. Next time you sense you're entitled to anything, and ask yourself the question, am I a leader based upon the qualifications of Scripture? Strength of character, the ability to gently persuade, and giftedness. Not office, not power, not authority, not entitlement. And by the way, if you've never come to faith in Christ, you've never been forgiven of your sins, you never know what it means to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, the idea of being a servant to other people is scary. Because you've been controlling your life all the days of your life. But I'm telling you, when you turn your life over to Him and you realize He is King and He invades you and He sets up His kingdom in your heart, then you can relax and just serve people and not worry about your kingdom and other people building their kingdom because God's in control. Let's pray together.